As we have up on the board, we are focusing in on what causes the distractions in life and our effort to find and please God. So we were doing a couple of different things. We were looking at the things that cause us to lose track of what we're supposed to be doing as human beings. If we have a task or we have a mission or we're trying to get something done, whether a test or it could be anything, those things that are constantly pulling away our attention from what we're supposed to be paying good attention to, and defocusing us from the task at hand. I mentioned before about my friend Dave and the woodwork that they do, and I always see that idea of a woodsmith working on a piece of wood on a lathe, and it's so easy. I remember my shop teacher when I was in middle school and high school talking about making sure that you got everything clear out of that area, because if one thing touches that thing, it's going to get wrapped up into it. And I remember him talking at that time, doesn't happen so much these days, but that was still coming out of the 70s, and so people had, a lot of guys had long hair, and he would tell me some horrible stories about guys with long hair trying to do the wood lathe, and you can imagine how that would work out. Today we're going to look at finding clarity in two things. I try to do on all my lessons. One side is just human interaction with life, and the other side is a spiritual application of the things we're looking at. So as I have down there, today we'll be looking at finding clarity and seeing with our eyes and with our minds before God. So you know, you can close your eyes, and with our minds, with my eyes closed, I can still see every one of you. I may not be able to see exactly what you're doing, but I can close my eyes and I say, okay, I know that's Rochelle, and I know Mom and Brad and Brio are back there, and Braden's right there, and I can go through my mind and I see, because I just saw you with my eyes. It's embedded into my brain. But whenever I'm not here, I can still see each one of you. I can see characteristics of your features and things about you that I recognize, and you can do the same for me. So that's one thing that we can do with our eyes, is being very clear with that. But with our mind, the idea of the fact that I can see you with my eyes closed, we can use our minds to think about things or be focused on tasks at hand, even without any action between my hands or my legs going someplace or walking, just by how I behave. And those are the things that we need to pay extra attention to with regard to focusing on God. So some of the key words we were going through last week, seems like the lessons go really quick. I was happy when, since I do put the lessons online, I think I was at 1945 last week, so either I cut myself short fast enough, or the audio, once I cut the beginning out of it, it was just good. But last week we focused on the word focus. We focused on the word search, and we focused on the word find for our keywords. And we followed up with a warning. And that was our ideas of what we worked on last week. And I mentioned, as we were going through the lesson last week, today we're going to be looking at the word vision, see, and find again. So the importance for both lessons is finding what we are looking for. The focus is all about trying to find the things there. So what are some problems for not having good vision? I was going through a list of typical. Some sites had 10 top causes for having vision problems. Some had 20. Some had 100. It just didn't matter. But these are ones I think all of us have probably had to deal with. If I said, raise your hand if you're nearsighted. Is there anybody here that has been diagnosed as being nearsighted? Okay. Nearsighted, according to the definition, and I've always wondered about that. It's like, does that mean you have to be farther away? But nearsighted, the doctor term for that, I think, is called myopia, if I have my information right there. And that's basically anything that's up close, you can see well, but as things move further away, it's harder to see. And you can go to your ophthalmologist or your eye doctor, and he can tell you about how your lens adjusts and how they bend and focus. And as we age, we'll talk about one of the next things here about being farsighted, is the things like I wear glasses for. And some of you, as you got into your 40s and 50s or older, had the same thing. But nearsighted people can see things very close, but when they're further away, it's harder to recognize. And so what they have their vision adjusted for is different than what I have my vision adjusted to. I have not farsighted specifically, but I just have old eyes, I think a lot of people say, is that the flexibility of the lens in my eye, the doctor will tell you, is just lost its elasticity. And so it's not able to adjust to the level that I need it to read right here. If I look at this paper up close, and then I have to hold it away. When I was working at Best Products years ago as a salesperson in the electronics and sporting goods department, every time I would show somebody a feature and I would give them a list of the features, they would take it like this and they'd go, they'd make these faces, and everybody makes the same face. I don't care if you're male, female, old, or young, they do that. they pull that lip down and they frown, and it's like, how does that help your eyes? It doesn't. But it's just because they're like, I don't like that I'm having to do this. I can't focus. And that's all about what it is today. So nearsighted and farsighted, two of the main things there. Nearsighted is called myopia, hyperopia, or hyperopia as for farsighted. Cataracts. If I asked everybody to raise their hand, if you or a family member has ever had to deal with cataracts, there's probably a lot of people have. The older you get, that's just another age-related thing that happens to the eye there. One of the things in the short version there I put is cloudy lens. Basically, the lens that's inside your eyes, which anybody that's ever taken time to look at the way that your eyes see everything around you, I've heard people say from the podium before, this is such a great reason to believe in God, just by the eye, how it works. And it is an amazing organ, if you want to look at it that way. But the cataracts is just when you get older, that lens gets cloudier. And we live in a time now where that can be fixed. In fact, my great uncle, Riley, I was just talking to him a day or so ago. He's going through the process of having that corrected. And they can actually either take those lenses out and put new ones in, or they can clear them with lasers. It's amazing. But you've probably seen people that are older, especially if they're in a nursing home or something. You see them and you talk to them, and instead of that black dot in your eye, you'll see that gray dot. And they are always struggling to see because that lens is not as clear as what we expect. Another thing is migraines. We don't think about this. I've had some pretty bad headaches before, but mine are usually sinus related. But I know people that have migraines, and it's not just a headache that you have for a couple hours and you go on. It's a headache that could last for days. It's a headache that can affect all kinds of things in your body, and there's all kinds of different causes there. But I was interested to see that one of the main things that happens with migraines is vision problems, just because of that pressure or because of the way that the nerves are reacting or blood vessels are constricting. And number five, and this is not a top 10 list, this is just the ones I put down here, strokes are very possible for causing vision problems. You know, a stroke is a problem with a burst blood vessel in your brain or some place that's very important for your body. But when that happens, it causes all your blood vessels to have issues, either high blood pressure, low blood pressure, whatever. The eyes have really, really, really tiny blood vessels in the back of your eye to give you that vision. And so when something happens to your body, that causes that problem too. On the last of my list here, they actually had diabetes before the stroke on this one section I was looking at there, but the diabetics part is going to lead right into something that I dealt with as we get into some visuals on this lesson. And the problems with diabetes is you can have, and even now, with my blood sugar in pretty good shape, I wear an insulin pump, I'm a diabetic if you didn't know, I have diabetes, but when my sugar goes low for a long period of time, and especially like when I used to cut wood a lot, it would get down into the 50s and 60s, and because I would keep eating, but I was constantly burning off energy, I was never allowing my body to get back up to where it needed to be. And for most diabetics, that you try to stay around 100 to 120 for your glucose readings there. I'd stay in the 40s and 50s, or 50s and 60s typically, and that would, after a few hours, I would lose the ability to see clearly. If I closed one eye, I could see pretty much what I was doing, but I couldn't see out of both eyes. Everything was split visioned, and it was because my sugar being low, my body was pulling out things that it needed to maintain the energy level that I needed for all of my organs to work, and taking it away from things like vision and things like that. But that's going to lead us right into this next image here. So if I put that picture up there and I asked you guys, what do you see up there? If you have your glasses on and you have your contacts in and your eyes are working pretty good, if I asked you all, is that blurry? Hopefully you all say that. It's a little bit blurry, Roger. Why did you waste your time putting graphics in there like that? Well, I started off with this slide because when I became a diabetic, I was 25 years old, never had a problem with diabetes. I knew my grandparents had diabetes, but we used to go down to Cave Run, Kentucky to water ski. And I loved going down there because it was so beautiful, this beautiful lake, all these hills and mountains around you, and this trees everywhere. And I was always so happy to see that because the trees were so vivid. And one year we were down there, it was probably after 2 or 3 years of going down there, I was looking around, I was like, these trees are just not clear. They're blurry. It's driving me crazy. I don't know what's going on. I told Rachel, I said, I'm having problems with seeing these trees. I said, this is weird. And I kept guessing about it. And I was always thirsty. I kept drinking soda. At that time, we didn't have any people that were diabetics or people that were really health conscious, so there was no diet drinks around. So what I was doing is constantly drinking sugared water. My sugar was already high, and so my body was 600, 700 on my sugar level, And it was just like what it does when it gets low. The high sugar was causing my body to not have good vision. And I was looking around and I had seen all these trees and they were terrible, but I kept drinking soda. And I said, when we finally started heading home, it was getting worse and worse. I was drinking a whole can of pop. And as soon as I got done drinking, I said, we got to stop. I have to use the restroom. And it was just over and over and over again. My body was out of control. So they're telling you a story about diabetes, but it also helps us to talk about focus. What was causing my problem? Well, until we were almost home and I had drank all the L81 soda from down there in Kentucky, I finally drank some water and everything got better because water does not have sugar in it. And as I drank more water, my sugar started coming down. Your body as a diabetic gets rid of those things by the process of normal elimination. But because I kept putting it back in with sugared water, it was causing problems for me. So we look at these trees here and you see where my problem was. But what if we focus that in there? That's where good focus is, and that's what we're talking about today is focus. It's important for us to know what we're looking at if we can see it clearly. If we go back to that first picture there, you can probably tell those are trees, but it's not certain until you can actually get over to see that. For our next image here, I want you all to tell me exactly what that is. I know Glenn and Edith probably know what it is already, right? All of you have an idea? Okay, probably not. I think it looks like some dark areas and white areas. You almost see I see a chicken with its hands up. Do you guys see that? The chicken face with its hands up? What about that? Is that making it a little bit more clear? That looks like some sort of mosaic, doesn't it? What are we talking about today? We're talking about focus, aren't we? There's your hint right there. We go a little bit more. That's typically when you see the eye doctor. I'm looking at this chart, doctor, and that's what I see. Well, if we can see clearly, that's what we'd see. We back out of there to that first slide, and we see that. It's like, we can't see that. The problem with that picture right there is what? It's out of focus, right? Focus is, you can't tell what that is. If I was an eye doctor and I said, Brenda, tell me what that middle letter is there at the top. If you hadn't seen where we just went to or you don't remember it, you couldn't go back over here and say, oh, Roger, that's a letter O. Well, if I went down to the letter C at the bottom there in that bottom right corner and I go back to where we started, can you guys see that letter C there? No. If your eyes are working that poorly, do you think you could be in danger as you move around, walking through houses or streets or driving? Yes. So it's very important that we have good vision. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man what? According to his ways, according to the fruits of his doing. So we're looking at focus in a couple of different ways as we go through the rest of this lesson. We're looking at it from our point of view, and then we're going to look at it from God's point of view. What we understand is where our focus is. What we see, what we bring into our minds, what we retain in our minds is the focus that we need to have, the focus that we see each day. And God has that same expectation for us. His focus for us is for us to be able to have clarity in all things, not to be clouded. All right, I challenged Nathan with this image right here today when he came in. I said, Nathan, as a hunter, I want you to tell me what that image is right there. And I'm not sure he was able to tell me because he hadn't seen this slide yet. He may be able to do it right now, but I'll have to check with him after we're done with worship today to see if he knows what that is. Well, what do you typically do if you go hunting? You can have two different things. You have a spotting scope or you can have binoculars. So I faked in some binoculars there and I put a little bit more clarity on there. So say you have some binoculars in your hand and you're looking through there. The first thing that you see with your eyes is just that. But you put those binoculars on and now you can tell what that is, can't you? Anybody? You can see a brown something, can't you? You know something's out there. It could be a person in a really thick, heavy coat. It could be a beaver. It could be anything. So let's say we put a little bit more clarity on there. Whoa, wait a second. I see something that looks like it's got something over its head. Nathan's probably all over that. Maybe Cole and Melana too. Maybe some of the rest of you know what that is. But is it still clear to you? Do you have 100% certainty of what that is? Probably not, because what? It is not in focus. What is in focus now? What is it? Is it a rabbit? Is it a deer? Or is it an elk? Hopefully you'll say elk because that's what it's supposed to be. So we see that there. But when we back out of there and we first got to that place, I have no idea what that is. It took focusing Even if you have the binoculars in your hand, you still don't know what that is until you focus. You have to spend time doing that. Jeremiah chapter 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All your heart." So if I go out into, I have bad vision, I go hunting, or I go someplace that I want to see something, and I don't take anything with me to help with my vision. Say I have to wear glasses or contacts, I leave them at home. I get to this place, I know something's far away, and I don't take binoculars or a spotting scope or anything like that. And I just get out there and I'm just looking. And I know that I can't see very well, and I'm not able to see anything, and so I go back home because I wasn't able to see anything clearly. And everybody else was hooting and hollering because they were seeing amazing things, but not me because I didn't have that clarity. God expects us to take whatever tools that we have at our disposal to be able to have the clarity. Our Bibles are certainly one of the most important ones there. I didn't get all these images here for getting video. Sometimes it's a little tricky for presentations. I will have these back up on our website when we get these posted, but I've cited all the authors for photos and, in this case, a video here. So they're showing this person, and the caption at the bottom, if you can't read that, says, "Drunk driver's erratic driving and subsequent crash caught on her own dash cam in Sussex, UK." And it's got a link for it there. So this person is following this car in front of them. They're doing pretty good speeds. I'd say probably 40, 45 miles an hour. They're going through the streets. Obviously, they're backwards for U.S. drivers because they're over in U.K. So as they drive along, this person's following them. Prior to this point, the person keeps getting out into the trees, and they come back in. They drive off the road. They come back in. We've all seen how drunk drivers typically drive. So they're going through this neighborhood. All these cars are coming. This car in front of them moves over to the right to go around this car that's parked here. And look, this car gets closer. That is not the car in front of them hitting their brake lights. That is the headlights from the car coming up from behind onto that car. What is the problem here? This woman may have perfectly good vision, but right now she can't see clearly because of what? This story says that she was a drunk driver. Her vision was impaired, or her mind was impaired, or both were impaired because of the condition she'd put herself into. The next thing you see is this car runs into it, and because that was a dash cam there, all those things that you see above that tree there, those are fragments of glass flying through the air, because that dash cam was right in the front of the car. So how could that have been stopped? Well, her focus would have been much better if she hadn't done something to cause her body to be impaired, disabling it because of the alcohol use and getting to a point where she had no control. I don't care what her vision was up to that point, it was bad at this point, and that's why she ran into that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, it says, "Let us search out, let us examine our ways and turn back to the Lord." How can we fix problems when we are in a disabled state? We are not getting to where we should be. We are not accomplishing the things that God wants us to. We're not accomplishing the things that God's gifts in us are provided to us in order to do, because we have not turned to God in the proper way. We're going the wrong way. And so many times we've seen in the news, it says a drunk driver is going the wrong way on the freeway, or maybe an older driver just is impaired. They don't have the consciousness to think about what they're doing, and they show all this traffic on the freeway heading north, and there's somebody getting on the off-ramp as if they're getting onto the freeway. They're going the wrong way because their mind's clouded. They don't have proper focus. In Luke chapter 6, 39, talking about Jesus, and he said, "He spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch?" We've read this passage so many times, but think about that two different ways. If I'm a Christian and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, and I have a person with the world with me that knows nothing about God or Christ, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, and I walk off into the ditch, they're just going to come along right along with me. We have got to know what we're doing. Our focus has to be good. And the same is true for the person. If I was a worldly person and I don't care about God and Christ, if I'm walking in the ways of the world, and I have this Christian with me that's not doing what God wants them to, and they need help, they're both going to end up in the same place. Matthew chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck in your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye'?" We've seen this passage so many times, but it's just so obvious when you get to that point there. "Hold on, let me see why you're having problems seeing. Oh, there's this little tiny thing," and it's like you're walking around, and as you look, this huge plank sticking out of your eye. That lesson we sometimes don't think too much about, but it's really a situation where a lot of us get into with losing our focus before God. And also in Mark chapter 8, 22 and 25, talking about the blind man, says he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him, and he asked him if he saw anything. And the man said, and he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. So what we were showing those trees earlier, they're this blurry thing that you can't really make out for. That's all this man could see. He went from seeing nothing to seeing what looked like trees walking around. And it says, he put his hands on him again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. The point here is not because Christ had to do something twice to make it work. The point to me is that sometimes we have to work at things and do it multiple times in order for our focus to get to where it should be taking effect. Christ certainly could have done that the first time. John 3:21, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen. What are we talking about? Focus. You want our deeds to be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So that is our goal. If we're focusing on doing the right things, we want people looking at us to focus on seeing the right things being done. Whoops. Let's not do that. Romans chapter 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul talking in Romans here saying that you just look around and this amazing planet, well, first of all, how can you look around if you don't have focus? You've got to be able to use your eyes and focus out there and say, this is amazing. Even this past week as I was working on this lesson, I kept thinking, the diversity of what God has done for us is so amazing, I can't help but have great faith in this Creator. But people cannot have an excuse if they can see things going on around them. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Very much the same language here. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And this always goes back to the idea of using a kiln and making clay and sculpture and things like that. The burning away of the shape and seeing what remains for us. So clear to my mind. So these things are all talking about the clarity and vision and focus in our lives. Sometimes we need to have glasses on in order to get there, and we just need to put them on. I could have got up here today and I could have saw most of you pretty well, but this helps me, and that's one reason I wear my glasses. 2 Peter 3:14 says, therefore, beloved, look forward to these things, and it's talking about the day of the Lord here. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Again, when God looks at us, what kind of person is he going to see? Is he going to see a good person or a bad person? Somebody that's filthy, somebody that's clean, somebody that's taking care to do the things that God wants them to, or somebody that's just doing what they want. It's going to be evident. And in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. What were they judged against? Their works. We see the same language in other places in the New Testament and, I believe, in Revelations, talking about not just the dead, and it's going to get into how far this revelation has been given to John. How far does God look in the past? He also looks at the people that are alive at this time too. And it says, continues on, it says, by the things that were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead and who were in them. So if you died in the ocean or the sea, they were brought forward. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, which is basically everybody else. And they were each judged, what? We've talked about this in a couple other verses. Each one according to his works. Our works is where our focus is going to be. And what we're judged by is what God sees in us. And it's going to be written down. I saw Roger do this, I'm making a note. I saw Roger do this, I'm making a note. And when I'm judged, all those notes are going to be brought back up because God saw what I was doing. Then death and Hades were cast into the fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So two questions, we're going to wrap up the lesson today. We've been talking about focus last week and this week. When I ask the question here, what have you looked for, what have you found, and what have you lost? with your focus in your spiritual life? What have you found that you're missing? What do you know that you're missing? And how can you achieve that? If you're lacking anything, to have clarity of what those things are, you can look those things up. Or maybe you've gotten there and you've lost those things because you haven't stayed focused. You became a great Christian and you're like, ooh, that looks fun. Or that's interesting. And you keep moving and moving and moving and you're not in focus where God is looking for you. And then the other question I ask as we continue as we finish the lesson out, if I said right now, how do you look to God? God's focused on every single person in here today. We're focusing on God today because it's the Lord's day and we're worshiping Him. But when He looks at every single pew that has a person sitting in there today, He goes, not good enough. How are we trying to please God in what He's given us? We're not going to be judged because of some great thing that somebody else had. We are going to be judged by what God has given us and what we're doing with it. And so today I just ask you to think about these things. I know these lessons have been short. I hope the images and these passages will stay in your mind. But it is important to stay focused. And it's important for us to stay focused on being a Christian when we walk outside these doors today. That's not where we just flip off a switch like we do these lights. We need to keep it active. So I encourage you to take your songbooks out. We'll announce the song that will be sang. And if you have any needs at all at this time, please come forward as we stand and sing.